Sponsorship of the KQED live audio stream comes from Xfinity Mobile, featuring customized wireless plans. Customers can choose unlimited, buy the gig, shared data, or a mix of both and switch it up anytime. Learn more at xfinitymobile.com.
As we just heard from Toby Douglas, the prospect of healthcare reform leaves the Schwarzenegger administration hopeful, but also worried by what it might cost California. Of course, we don't know yet what the final legislation will look like or whether it will even reach President Obama's desk. But joining us now to sort through where California's healthcare system is today and where it could head under major changes being discussed in Washington is Marion Mulkey, Senior Program Officer with the California Healthcare Foundation. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
Well, we've heard from courts, community clinics, patients, the state. So let me ask you from where you sit at the foundation, where do you think this latest round of state budget cuts leaves the state's health and social service system?
Well, we've heard vivid illustrations of the hardship that this brings for individual Californians, low-income people, and for the providers and safety net organizations that work so hard to serve them. Clearly, in the best of times, those individuals and those organizations are stressed, and these are very far from the best of times.
Is it your sense that the cuts that have come down this year and previous years, for that matter, that those cuts have been evenly distributed, or is it your sense that they affected one population or racial group or geographic group more than another?
I think that there are particular challenges in rural areas, particularly in California, because of the demographics of who lives there, as well as the providers who are available in those areas. I think that you heard from Toby Douglas that some of the constraints in federal law and policy influence how decisions are made, and so the service cuts, it would be hard to characterize them as evenly distributed, but I'm not sure that they particularly advantage or disadvantage a specific group of people either.
It's ironic, and I don't know if you want to comment on this, but those rural areas are largely represented by Republicans who refuse to increase revenue taxes to pay for some of these programs.
You're right that I probably don't want to comment on that.
I just thought I'd try. We heard from Judge Manley down in Santa Clara County that, in some ways these cuts are penny-wise, pound-foolish, the cuts to the drug treatment programs, which may end up leading to higher costs for things like incarceration. Is there any way out of that spiral, where you cut things that you have to cut knowing that it's going to end up costing you more in the long run?
I don't know, Scott. I mean, dental is another great example of that, where cutting benefits for routine preventive care ends up costing huge amounts in human impact as well as health care costs when people end up in the emergency room for a raging infection associated with a bad tooth. Can we do better than that? I certainly hope so. But I think to do so requires a much more candid and far-reaching conversation about what our priorities are as citizens and residents of this state, how we make trade-offs, what we really value and are prepared to invest in with respect to human infrastructure, and what we are prepared to let go by the wayside or require that people finance from their own pockets as opposed to from the state budget.
When you say we need to have a more candid conversation, what do you mean by that? What are we not talking about honestly?
I think that unfortunately, for good reasons and bad reasons, we all have trouble paying close attention to really where our tax dollars are going. Not as many people as we might like really understand where the state budget goes, where state obligations begin and end. And it's easy, I think, for all of us to say that we want all the services that we have and that we don't want to pay any more than we do currently in taxes. If those two sets of desires don't balance out, we need somehow to engage people at a grassroots level to talk about when and how they'd be willing to pay more or what they might be willing to give up.
I want to ask you a question about undocumented immigrants. It's a hot topic in Washington. I wonder if you could just clarify their status here in California. Are they eligible for the kinds of programs we've been talking about, like Medi-Cal?
They are not eligible for regular Medi-Cal services. They can receive emergency services when they show up at an emergency room, for example, and those services can be paid for through the Medi-Cal program. But that would be only enough to stabilize them, not routine health care.
Well, and that leads me to a question about national health reform, because there's a lot of talk about requiring everyone to have insurance, helping the government would help those who can't afford it pay for health insurance, although undocumented immigrants theoretically would not be included in that. But what is your sense about, based on what we know now, how might California be affected by the health care reform that seems to be gaining momentum in Washington now?
Well, I think, first of all, you're right that many details have not been finalized. But I think it is likely that in California there would be improvements to access to care and improvements in financing for many of these safety net providers, because we would see many low-income Californians and low-wage workers newly insured. But you are also right that many Californians are likely to remain uninsured even under a sweeping federal reform, which, again, we may or may not see. So one of those groups is our large undocumented population. Perhaps some would newly choose to purchase coverage with their own funds or through their employer. But many of them don't have employers who offer coverage and probably wouldn't have employers that offered coverage after the reform. So perhaps a million or so of those undocumented residents would continue to be uninsured. I think it's also likely that some other Californians who are of legal status here could be left out of coverage. We don't know exactly how the rules will play out, but some might be exempted due to affordability concerns in the final implementation of reform. And some may not enroll in the options offered to them, depending on how penalties and incentives are structured under the new rules.
We've got just about a minute and a half left, but if you had, say, 10 minutes to talk to the president, what would you most want to tell him, or ask him, for that matter?
I would, I guess, want to assert my my great desire to see improvements in equity and efficiency and quality of care, but perhaps most of all to address these issues of long-term sustainability and financing under coverage reform. I think that the desire to get more people covered in a more equitable way is absolutely desirable, but that's likely to be ephemeral. It's not likely to be able to be sustained if we don't address the way that we deliver health care in this country and how much we pay for it in a open and accountable way.
Am I wrong, or is that conversation really not part of this debate right now?
It has not been in the forefront to date.
And are you hopeful that that may change?
You know, Scott, I am hopeful, not in the very short term. I think that the political conversation will stay about where it's been in the very short term. But in the long term, I think it's inevitable because the cost pressures are so great and the importance of this issue is so primary to all of us.
All right. Marianne Mulkey with the California Healthcare Foundation. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks to all of our guests for joining us this hour. And don't forget, everything you just heard and much more is available on our website. It's healthdialogues.org. You can listen to our show, subscribe to the podcast, even suggest your own topic ideas, and of course, you can also get involved in the conversation. That's healthdialogues.org. Tune in for next month's Health Dialogues, when we'll explore in more detail how undocumented and seasonal workers get health care in California, and how immigration reform might change that. Health Dialogues is a production of the California Report and KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Seal Muller, with additional engineering by Howard Gelman and Danny Bringer. The Health Dialogues team includes Polly Stryker, Susie Racho, Gabriel Cohen, Nick Vidinsky, Erica Kelly, and Shuka Kalantari. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Scott Schaefer. Thanks for listening. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report's Health Dialogue series are provided by the California Endowment, working to build healthier communities that support children, youth, and families. Online at www.calendow.org. And the members of KQED Public Radio.